إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This morning, bi-idhni Allahi ta'ala, we'd like to continue with the review of the topic that we began yesterday from the book entitled At-Taqwa and Its Effects, and the characteristics of the pious and their recompense, by Shaykh Rabia bin Hadi al-Madkhali, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. Yesterday, in what we read yesterday, we mentioned the definition of a taqwa. The Shaykh, he mentioned first the Sharia definition and then the linguistic definition of a taqwa, and a few ayat from the Quran and ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which indicate the obligation upon the Muslim of observing a taqwa and its importance and the need for it that everyone is in need of. And the Shaykh, he said, in terms of the linguistic definition of a taqwa, he said that it is like a barrier or shield or something that you place between yourself and that which you fear harm to come to you from. And as far as the taqwa of Allah, he said it is that a person placed between their self and that which would incur or bring about the wrath of Allah, His anger, His punishment. Yani that place between yourself and those things that will bring about the anger of Allah or the wrath of Allah, His punishment upon you. And as far as the Sharia definition of a taqwa, the Shaykh, he said that it is the combination of the fundamentals of the deen of Allah and its branches. The usul and the furu of the deen of Allah, all of it combined together. In the same way that we understand the meaning of al-Islam or al-Iman or al-Birr, that a taqwa also likewise is a comprehensive expression that entails all of the fundamentals of Islam as well as its branches. And he said also that it means that a person fulfill the obligations of Allah and they avoid the things that He has prohibited, and that we believe in whatever He has informed us of. As far as the ayahs from the Quran that the Shaykh mentioned, he said there are many, and from amongst them, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And he mentioned this, the definition of observing taqwa of Allah in the way that He deserves it, the saying of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, in which he described it as being yani composed of three elements, and that is obedience to Allah, remembrance of Allah, and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, he mentioned other ayat, and from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned two hadith. The first of them, a very, very important hadith, And that is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ. Observe taqwa of Allah wherever you are, in every situation or circumstance, at every time, in every place. وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَاتَ الْحَسَنَةَ. And follow up an evil deed with a good deed. تَمْحُهَا. And it will erase it or remove it. وَخَالِقَ النَّاسِ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. And deal with the people, treat the people in a manner, yani, that reflects al-khuluq al-hasan, yani good character, manners and behavior that are representative of Islam and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After this, the Shaykh began with the descriptions of the people of taqwa that came in the book and in the sunnah, the descriptions of the people of taqwa. And of course, the descriptions of the people of taqwa are so many. And the Shaykh has mentioned here three, yani, primary references from the Quran. Three. And amongst, in his discussion or explanation of these ayats, he has mentioned other ayat, but yani, he mentioned three primary references from the Quran. And the first of them, he has not really commented on. So I, walaikum salam, I recommend that everyone who is able should go back and read the tafsir of these ayat from the first reference that he gives to us. If possible, at least the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah. And if anyone has the ability, then, yani, these ayat are of great importance, and because the Shaykh has not actually expounded upon them, it would be of great benefit to go back and review the tafsir of these ayat. The second ayat he has expounded upon in some detail, and the third ayat that he mentions, he has, yani, explained in great detail. So he begins from the descriptions of the people of taqwa in the book and the sunnah. Indeed, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has described the people of taqwa. So who are they? And this is the first question of many questions that we will come across in this discussion. I'm saying this is the first of many questions that every one of us needs to ask ourselves. So who are they, the people of taqwa? What are the creeds, yani the aqidah, and the actions that they implement? What are their a'mal? What is their aqidah and what is their practices, the people of taqwa? We need to know what is their aqidah so that we can be sure that we have the same aqidah. And what are their deeds, their actions, so that we can be sure that we are performing the same actions? What are the characteristics which they in fact possess, such that it can truly be said of them that they are the people of taqwa? Yani, what are the characteristics of these people that whoever possess those characteristics, it can be truly said that they are from the people of taqwa, that they are the people deserving that which Allah promised the people of taqwa? What are their characteristics? What are the characteristics of the people to whom Allah has promised, yani, this great reward, what he has promised to the people of taqwa? So let us look at some of these characteristics. Whosoever falls short in them, or has a deficiency in some of them, then let him try his best to adopt these characteristics, so that he becomes from the people of taqwa, deserving of Allah's promise, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, the promise of Allah to the people of taqwa. Yani, whoever finds themselves having some short deficiency in these characteristics should strive and struggle and make a great effort to try to rectify that, so that they would become deserving of that which Allah has promised the people of taqwa. The first ayah that the Shaykh mentions is from Surah Al-Baqarah, the first through fifth ayat, yani ayat 1 through 5. This is the first reference that clearly discusses the people of taqwa, and the Shaykh immediately proceeded to this reference from Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, ayats 1 through 5. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Alif Lam Mim. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ يعني Alif Lam Mim. This is the book whereof there is no doubt. يعني لا ريب فيه. It has no doubt in it. There is no doubt about what it contains, the truth that it contains, and the realities that it points to. هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ Yani, it is, this book is being described here as a huda, a guidance for the muttaqeen. The Qur'an is a guidance for the muttaqeen. And the scholars of the sunnah say, it is a guidance for the muttaqeen, and it is not a guidance for other than the muttaqeen. It is not a guidance for the people of corruption, and the people of kufr, and the mushrikeen. Rather, it is a guidance for the people who observe taqwa. Yani, part of the reward of the people of taqwa is that the Qur'an is a guidance for them. And it's not a guidance for the people who do not observe taqwa. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقَنَاهُمْ يُنْفِكُونَ Yani, who are the muttaqeen? Allah begins to describe them. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ Yani, they are those who believe in the unseen. And they perform the salat. Yani, they establish the salat. يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ Establish the salat. Yani, with all that that entails. All of its rights and obligations and adab and etiquettes and so on. وَمِمَّا رَزَقَنَاهُمْ يُنْفِكُونَ And from that which we have provided them, they spend. Yani, they spend in the way of Allah. Upon that, from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them. And here, some of the scholars have said that this description of the muttaqeen as being those who establish the salat and they spend from that which Allah has provided for them indicates the completeness of the people of taqwa, that they fulfill the rights of Allah, that which is owed to Allah, and they also attend to the people. Yani, the salat they perform for Allah alone, and the spending in the way of Allah is for the people. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His right is fulfilled, and also the people are also taken care of. And this is similar to the meaning that we found in the hadith that we read yesterday, where the Shaykh said, "Yani, the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to observe taqwa of Allah in every situation or circumstance." And in the end of the hadith, he said, "And khalaq an-nas bi khulqin hasan." Yani, treat the people with good character and manners. And the scholars said that this is also showing that the rights of Allah are to be observed as well as the rights of the people. And then he said, yani, from the description of the people of taqwa, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ And they are also those who believe in that which has been sent down to you, that which is revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning the Qur'an and the Sunnah, and that which was sent down before you, yani, to the earlier prophets. And they as well, yani, believe with certainty in the akhirah. That is, they have yaqeen, certainty about the hereafter and all that that entails, including the resurrection of the people from the dead and the standing of the people before Allah and the jannah and the nar and the hisab, the accounting and the mizan, the scales upon which the deeds would be weighed, that they believe in these things, all of them, with certainty. And then he says, yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ Yani, that these people are upon guidance from their Rabb. Yani, the book of Allah this book, the Qur'an, is a guidance for the muttaqeen. And the muttaqeen are those who believe in the unseen and who establish the salat and who spend from that which Allah has provided for them, and they believe in that which has been revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and that which was revealed to the prophets before him, and they have certainty about the akhirah. These people are upon huda, guidance from their Rabb. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And these are those who are the successful. And the successful can be understood from another ayah from the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازَ. That those who have been distanced from the hellfire and those who have been admitted into the Jannah, these indeed are those who are successful. Yani to be protected from the hellfire and to be admitted into the paradise is the true success. So the Shaykh, he mentions this ayat, and then he says, so Allah explained that the Quran, this great book, which takes precedence over all other messages, no one other than the people of taqwa are guided by it. No one other than the people of taqwa are guided by it. So let us look. Have we been guided by this Quran in truth, such that we become from the people of taqwa in our aqidah, in our creed and beliefs, in our dealings, our interactions with the people, and in our business, social, family, and so on, dealings with the people, in our stances, in our positions, in our loyalty, and in our enmity, and in every affair of our lives. Yani, can we say in honesty that we have been guided by the Qur'an in all the affairs of our lives, that we are acting upon the guidance of the Qur'an in our daily lives, in what we believe, and how we worship, and how we deal with the people? Have we been guided by this Qur'an in truth, so that we become from those who deserve this testimony from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for us? We may have some of this, yani some of these characteristics, with weakness, extreme weakness. So let us try to perfect these characteristics and be guided by the Book of Allah, so that we deserve, so that we become entitled to the testimony that we are upon guidance, and that we are in reality sincere, so that we earn success and triumph with the loftiest goal, which is Al-Jannah and the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, His pleasure in this world and in the next. So the Shaykh says, when Allah changed the Qibla to the sacred house, the Kaaba, Mecca, after it had been Jerusalem, when the Jews, the hypocrites, and those who had been influenced by them, and in whom there was weakness from among the Muslims, when they objected and the foolish ones spoke, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, as mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 142nd ayah, سَيَقُولُ السُّفَهَاءُ مِنَ النَّاسِ مَا وَلَّاهُمْ عَنْ قِبْلَتِهِمُ الَّتِي كَانُوا عَلَيْهَا. Yani the fools, the foolish among the people, the pagans, the hypocrites, and the Jews, will say, what has turned them, the Muslims, from their Qibla, the prayer direction towards Jerusalem, to which they used to face in prayer? Yani, why have they changed the direction of their prayer from Jerusalem to Mecca? Allah ordered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قُلْ لِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Say, to Allah belong both east and west, and He guides whom He wills to the straight path. And He guides whom He wills to the straight path. And after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, also in Surah Al-Baqarah, further on, 177th ayat, and the Shaykh expounds on this particular ayat in reference to the meaning of, yani, a description of the people of taqwa. A description of the people of taqwa. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. Yani, he responds to those who said, what is it that has turned these people from the Qibla that they used to turn towards in prayer, towards Jerusalem? Why did they change their direction? Allah is responding to them, saying, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. Yani, that it is not al-birr, it is not righteousness, that you turn your faces east and or west in prayers. That's not righteousness per se, just what direction you turn in. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. Yani, but rather, al-birr is the quality of the one who believes in Allah, and the last day, and the angels, the book, the prophets, yani, who believes in the fundamentals, the usul of iman. وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ ذَوِ الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلَ وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ. Yani, those who believe in Allah, in the last day, in angels, in the books, and the prophets, and who, yani, manifest their belief in their spending, yani, that they give from their wealth in spite of love for it. Even though they love their wealth, they spend it in the way of Allah. They give it to their near relatives, and to the orphans, and to the poor people, and to the wayfarer, the person who is away from his land, who's cut off, and has no means to return to what he has in his land. So to give to him, and to those who ask, yani, who are in dire need, and they have to go to the people and ask for help, and to set slaves free. Yani, these are from the characteristics of true birr. Yani, believing in Allah and His angels and the books, and spending in the way of Allah in all of the ways that Allah has prescribed for wealth to be spent. And he goes on to say, وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةِ وَالْمُوفُونَ بِأَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَاهَدُوا وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالدَّرَّاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. And likewise, from the characteristics of al-birr, yani, what is birr? The characteristics of the people of taqwa is that they establish the salat, yani, with all of its requirements, and give the zakat, the obligatory charity, and who fulfill their covenant when they make a covenant, yani, they keep their agreements, they keep their promise, they make agreements and they fulfill them. And those who are patient, yani, from the great characteristics of al-birr, from the great characteristics of iman and taqwa, is that the people who have patience in extreme poverty and ailment or sickness and disease, and at the time of fighting on the battlefield, such are the people of truth. Yani, these are the people who are truthful, and they are the muttaqeen. And these are the muttaqeen. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends these descriptions with, these are the people who are truthful. Yani, truthful in their claim to iman. This is the manifestation of the truthfulness of the person who claims iman. And these are indeed the muttaqoon. Yani, Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir rahimahullah says concerning the end of this ayat, أولئك الذين صدقوا وأولئك هم المتقون. Yani, these are those who are truthful, and these are those who possess taqwa. He said, though whoever is characterized with these characteristics, they are the ones who have been truthful in their claim to iman, and that is because they have achieved, they have realized, they have manifested the iman of the heart, al-iman al-qalbi. حققوا الإيمان القلبي بالأقوال والأفعال. Yani, they have realized, they have, yani, manifested the iman of the heart in speech and in actions. And we know that from the scholars of the Sunnah that the definition of iman includes the conviction in the heart, as well as the speech of the tongue and the actions of the limbs of the body. And Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, in the course of the discussion of these ayat, he also mentions that not only, and he mentions a number of definitions that the scholars have given of iman, but he said that it should include these things, the conviction in the heart, as well as the speech of the tongue and the actions of the limbs or the parts of the body. And we should add to that, that iman increases and decreases. And some of the scholars have also said that the levels of the people of iman differ, that they are not all the same. So he said that these are the people who have these descriptions, they are the people who are truthful in their iman, in their claim to iman. And that is because they have manifested the iman of the heart in their speech as well as in their actions. So these are the people who are truthful, and these are the muttaqeen, لأنهم اتقوا المحارم وفعلوا الطاعات. Because they have observed taqwa in reference to the things that Allah has prohibited. They have avoided those things and protected themselves from those things. Yani they have made a barrier or a screen between themselves and that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. And in this way protect themselves from the wrath and the anger and the punishment of Allah. And they are those who have fulfilled, who've acted upon the things that Allah required, the acts of obedience. The Shaykh says, those who were truthful in their claim of faith, yani, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا, the meaning of al-birr, piety, and at-taqwa, righteousness. Here, al-birr is the ultimate characteristic of at-taqwa, which is iman in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, and in the last day, these being the pillars of iman, which if one of them is missing, there's no iman at all. Yani whoever denies or rejects one of them, then that person has no iman at all. Yani one has to believe in all of them, or he has none of them. And added to this is faith in al-qadr, the predestination, the divine pre-decree mentioned in many ayat and ahadith, which completes these five. Yani the five pillars of iman that are mentioned in this reference, in this ayat, are completed by the sixth pillar of Islam, of iman, that is al-qadr, al-iman bil-qadr, khayrihi wa sharrihi, which is not mentioned in this ayah, but is mentioned in many other ayahs in the Quran, in authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So five fundamentals and five principles are mentioned in these ayat, and in this ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah. Five fundamentals and five principles mentioned in these ayat. Then, actions are added to these. Yani believing in Allah and the angels and the last day and the books and the prophets. In addition to that, actions are added to these, including spending in the way of Allah. And from them are the actions of the heart. Yani from amongst the actions that are mentioned here are the actions of the heart, such as patience. And likewise, there's the mention of fulfilling vows, or covenants, or oaths. So here we have the fundamentals of iman, what a person must believe in their heart, and we have actions as well, actions of the limbs, and actions of the heart, that are mentioned in this description of al-birr, which is a description of the people of taqwa. So these ayats comprised of the fundamentals of iman and Islam, and they are comprised of the beliefs, the actions of the hearts and the actions of the limbs, such that a person will not be from the people of taqwa except if these characteristics are found in him. A person would not be from the people of taqwa except unless these characteristics are found in him. He will not be from the truthful ones, yani, those who, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا, those who are truthful in their da'wah, in their claim to iman. He will not be from those who are truthful in the claim of Iman, and he will not be from the people of taqwa in truth, except if these actions are implanted in his heart and his limbs surrender to them. And unless these actions, these characteristics are rooted in the heart of the person, and then they are manifested in the actions of his limbs, by the surrendering of his limbs to compliance with that which is in the heart. When his heart becomes filled with them, and they are established in his person and his heart, then he will be truthful. And he will be of those who are truthful, who are sincere in their claim to Iman. And he will not be harmed, if Allah wills, by any fitna, as long as the heavens and the earth are in existence. Yani the person who has these characteristics of Iman and actions, righteous actions, they will not be harmed by any fitna. By the permission of Allah, they will not be harmed by any fitna as long as the heavens and the earth are in existence. And we ask Allah, Tabaraka wa ta'ala, to make us firm upon this Iman and these truthful actions that purify the souls. Yani this Iman and these truthful actions that purify the souls. How are the souls purified? By Iman and by righteous actions. If a soul is corrupt or has some corruption, then how is it purified? By Iman and by truthful, sincere, righteous actions. Those actions that the people upon them, yani due to those actions, the people who do them would be considered pious. They would be considered truthful people of taqwa. And we ask Allah to make us and you all from the pious, the truthful, in the claim of Iman and Tawheed, and from the people of taqwa, the righteous. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. And after this, the Shaykh mentions the third ayat that he mentions under this topic. Now, the Shaykh, he mentions the third ayah that he mentioned on this topic from Surah to Ali Imran, third Surah, 133rd and 134th ayat. And from their characteristics, yani the characteristics of the people of taqwa, is what Allah has mentioned, Tabarak wa ta'ala, in his saying, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And hasten and strive forth in the way, yani, that leads to forgiveness from your Rabb, and that leads to a paradise as wide as the heavens and the earth that has been prepared for the muttaqoon. Yani, as Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen rahimahullah said, "Uiddat lil muttaqeen" is a proof that the paradise is already in existence. It has already been prepared for the muttaqeen. So hasten forth to the forgiveness of your Rabb and a Jannah whose width is as the width of the heavens and the earth that has already been prepared for the muttaqeen. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالدَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Who are the muttaqeen that this Jannah has been prepared for? Those who spend in Allah's cause in prosperity and adversity. Yani when they have plenty and when they have little. When things are going well and they are in affluence. And when things are difficult and hard, when they are in poverty. Yani those who spend in the cause of Allah in every situation, in prosperity as well as in adversity. And they are also described as والكاظمين الغيظ. Yani those who repress their anger. Yani who repress their anger, extreme anger. When a person is extremely angry, and they are able to punish the one who they are angry with, not the one who's angry and is unable, incapable of executing their anger, but rather the one who is able, and in spite of that they repress and restrain their anger. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And who pardon the men. Yani who pardon the people, yani the wrongs that people have done to them, they overlook it and pardon it. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsineen. And Allah loves the muhsineen, the doers of good. Yani the muttaqoon. Allah loves the people of taqwa, the people of ihsan, the doers of good. This Jannah, which is as wide as the heavens and the earth, prepared for the people of taqwa. So who are they? Who are the people of taqwa? Yani they are those who spend in Allah's cause in prosperity and adversity, and those who repress their anger, even though they are able to execute, and those who pardon the people. Indeed, Allah loves the muhsinun, the doers of good. They are the people of taqwa, for whom Allah has prepared Jannah, a Jannah that is as wide as the heavens and the earth. So, and here's another question. Naam. So are we from those for whom Allah has prepared this Jannah, which is as wide as the heavens and the earth, where the share of one of its people, or the lowest of its people, is like the entire world? Yani the least of the people in Jannah, what they will receive in Jannah is better than whatever the people have in this whole world, in the dunya, all of it. They said, indeed, its height is like its width, or even greater. Yani, and hasten for the paradise, whose width is as wide as the heavens and the earth. So what is its height? And if there are 100 levels for the believer who is a mujahid, between each two levels is like the distance between the heavens and the earth, then what is its size? And if its width is as wide as the heavens and the earth, and the 100 levels of the mujahid, between every two levels is the distance between the heavens and the earth, what is the size of this Jannah? Allah prepared it. So, for whom did He prepare it? He prepared it for the people of taqwa, not for the hypocrites, not for the disbelievers, not for the evildoers. Indeed, He prepared it for the people of taqwa. So the Muslims must try to be from the people of taqwa, about whom Allah testifies. They are distinguished with these characteristics, that He has prepared this paradise for them, and that they are the successful ones with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And that is the supreme success. وَذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. And what success is greater than this? Indeed, it is the triumph and success and the attainment of the loftiest goal, which is the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, speaking with Him on the day of resurrection, yani talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeing Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. The descent of His pleasure upon the people of taqwa occurs after He settles us in this place, the home of permanent residence. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Fatir, 35th Surah and 35th Ayat, الَّذِي أَحَلَّنَا دَارَ الْمُقَامَةِ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Yani, who out of His grace, out of His favor, has lodged us in a home that will last forever. لَا يُمِصُّنَا فِيهَا نَصَبٌ وَلَا يُمِصُّنَا فِيهَا لُغُوبٌ. Where neither toil nor weariness will touch us. A place of permanent, yani, perfection and happiness. Is this our condition? Yani, are we the people who have been described with the above descriptions? Yani, spending in ease and difficulty? Do we spend in ease and difficulty? Yani, do we spend when we have little, or do we only spend when we have plenty, when we have a surplus? The people of taqwa are the people who spend in ease and in difficulty, in affluence and in poverty, in secret and openly, in hardship and affluence, in every situation. This is the condition of the people of taqwa. So let each of us look. Does this description match him? So if he finds himself falling short, then the world to Allah, yani in front of Allah, the dunya, does not weigh as much as the wing of a mosquito. And if it did weigh that much, the disbeliever would not even have been given a sip of water. As is mentioned in an authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ from Sahal ibn Sa'd radiallahu anhu, where the Prophet ﷺ said, لَوْ كَانَتَ الدُّنْيَا تَعْدِلُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ جناح بعودة ما سقى كافرا منها شربة ماء. That if the dunya was equivalent or equal in front of Allah to the wing of a mosquito, he would not have given even a drink, a sip of water from this dunya to the kafir. That if the world was worth anything, they wouldn't even get a sip of water from it. And that shows that the world in front of Allah is not worth anything. Yani the world that we strive for and struggle for and become slaves to, this world is not even equal to the wing of a mosquito in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Had it been worth anything, he would not even have given the kafir a drink of water from it. Allah prepares Jannah for you as wide as the heavens and the earth, and you want to be stingy with the obligatory and preferred deeds. You are not compassionate with the poor or with the orphan or with a relative, and you want Jannah, a Jannah as wide as the heavens and the earth. The merchandise of Allah is expensive. The merchandise of Allah is expensive. As the Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic hadith, أَلَا إِنَّ سِلْعَةَ اللَّهِ غَالِيَةً أَلَا إِنَّ سِلْعَةَ اللَّهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Yani, is not the merchandise that Allah is trading with, is it not expensive? Indeed, it is expensive. Indeed, the merchandise of Allah that He is trading is al-Jannah. It's expensive. It requires that the person offers everything he possesses in this life, his self and his wealth. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yani in Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 111th Ayah, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهِ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purchased from the believers their selves and their wealth, their lives and their wealth, in exchange for the paradise, so that they will have the paradise. يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَيَقَتُلُونَ وَيُقْتَلُونَ. They fight in the way of Allah, and they kill and are killed. Yani the enemy, they kill some of them, and some of the believers are killed. وَعْدًا عَلَيْهِ حَقًّا فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ وَالْقُرْآنِ. And this is a promise of Allah that is obligatory upon him, that's mentioned in the Torah, and in the Injil, and in the Qur'an. وَمَنْ أَوْفَى بِأَهْدِهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ. And who is better in keeping, truer to his covenant and his promise than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a promise from Allah. This is a promise from Allah that a person can give up their life and their wealth in the way of Allah in exchange for al-Jannah. فَاسْتَبْشِرُوا بِبَيْعِكُمُ الَّذِي بَايَعْتُمْ بِهِ إِنْ وَذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. So, yani rejoice in the bargain which you have concluded, the bargain that you have made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give up this dunya, your life and your wealth, in exchange for the Jannah. Indeed, this is the supreme success. And the Shaykh says, and we'll close with this, the seeker of Jannah must act. Yani, it's not wishing and hoping. I'm saying, it is not wishing and hoping. The Shaykh said, the seeker of Jannah must act. And I add again, it's not wishing and hoping and dreaming, but one must act, and now. Because we don't know how much time we have. The seeker of Jannah must act. He must be truthful in iman and truthful in actions, according to the attributes that Allah has described. And the Shaykh here mentions in this manner another ayat that supports what he mentioned earlier. That is from Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah 274. الذين ينفقون أموالهم بالليل والنهار سرا وعلانية فلهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. Those who spend their wealth in Allah's cause by night and by day, in secret and in public, they shall have their reward with their Lord. On them shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. And here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, yani, the previous reference he's going back to, from Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 134th Ayat, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. That is, those who spend in Allah's cause in prosperity and in adversity, when they have plenty and when they have little. Adversity is during the time of famine, and prosperity is the time of affluence. So he does not cease this spending and this generosity, or from seizing these opportunities. He doesn't let any opportunity pass by. An opportunity does not come except that he seizes it, seeking by that Allah's face, tabaraka wa ta'ala, not in order to be seen, not in order to be seen or to be heard, and not so that it might be said so-and-so is generous, or that praises be showered on him. Indeed, he wants, by what he gives in the way of Allah, he is seeking the face of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If he gives to the poor, he gives to them seeking Allah's face, not wanting any recompense or thanks from them. إِنَّمَا نُطَعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ إِنَّمَا نُطَعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا إِنَّا نَخَافُ مِنْ رَبِّنَا يَوْمًا عَبُوسًا قَمْطَرِيرًا. That indeed they said, we do not feed you except for the face of Allah, and we do not want from you any reward nor any thanks or appreciation. Verily we fear from our Lord a day that is hard and distressful, that will make the faces look horrible from extreme dislike for it. Yani Surah Al-Insan, 76 Surah, 9th and 10th Ayat. And these are the motives for this spending and charity and generosity. Yani, the person spends hoping to earn the reward of Allah and His favor. No more than that. Not anything from the people, not praise or recognition, nor thanks from those who one gives to. Rather, it is done only seeking the reward of Allah. And we'll stop here. The next matter that the Shaykh talks about, he said, and he goes on with the ayat that he mentioned earlier, the third ayat. Then Allah said, tabaraka wa ta'ala, those who repress anger, yani kadhimin al-ghayd wal-afina an-nas, and he goes on to talk about this to the end of that ayah, those who repress the anger and who pardon the people, and Allah loves the muhsineen. And inshallah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'll cover this in the next sitting. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any question or any comment, a few minutes before the time of prayer, any comment, any question? Naam, Bilal.
You mentioned the 100 levels, and you said the Mujahideen. Can you elaborate on this? Who falls into this category, the 100 levels?
The people who sincerely, truthfully fight in the way of Allah, for the sake of Allah. And that is the apparent meaning, Allahu A'lam. I mean, it's worth it for anyone, yani, to, in this matter, you know, to always go back and look at the references. Quite often, yani, you might read the tafsir of an ayat in the Quran or the explanation of a hadith, and you find that, yani, most of the time you find that there are different, yani, perspectives that it may be looked at from, and that the scholars sometimes say different things which are, yani, not contradictory, but maybe looking at it from different aspects or different perspectives. So it's good to look and see, but I mean, that is the apparent meaning. Allah knows best. Yani, does it include others? But it's clear, that is on the surface, it is clear. As far as the others, Allahu A'lam, I don't know.
Fikum barakallahu.
Naam.
From the people who suffer and suffer from events where they have the ability to execute their intention.
Naam.
Would that be from somebody who is in authority, who don't fear consequences from the law are, you know, because you say the person who is able to even, you know, though they have the ability
to
execute their intention. So.
Yani, this is a praiseworthy characteristic for the person who is able, who's angry and wants to punish someone or harm someone, and they have the ability to do it without any repercussions on them. Whether it's because they are in authority, or they have strength, or they have whatever. Yani, they have support, or yani, armies, or whatever they have, whatever it may be. Yani, the person who's able to punish, who's able to harm or hurt someone that they are angry with, they're able to do that. And the only thing that restrains them is not because they're incapable. It's not because they fear that if they punish someone, the government will capture them. No, they only fear Allah. They restrain their anger because they fear Allah only. Not for any other reason. Yani, the person who's able is the person who's able to do it without any consequences. Except from Allah. And because they fear Allah, they don't do it. That is a praiseworthy character. Otherwise, the person who has power and authority, and who has weapons or has armies, then that person, yani, they have the ability physically maybe to punish someone, but maybe there could be some consequences that they're afraid of in the world. So they don't do it. Maybe the other person also has some armies or weapons or whatever. And we see in the world today the governments who restrain their anger from certain other governments who have power like they have. So they are afraid of those people. But we're talking about the person who restrains their anger, the individual who restrains their anger only out of fear of Allah. This is a praiseworthy characteristic. They restrain their anger for the sake of Allah. Now,
Does that also apply to like a parent with his child?
Does it also apply to a parent and their child? It seems like it should. It seems like it should. And it should apply to anyone who has the ability to punish someone, and due to their anger, yani, they are inclined to do so. And it is more likely that they would do so because they are angry. Even if they were not angry, they probably wouldn't. But due to anger, this is what will cause a person to harm someone or hurt someone, whether it's justified or otherwise. So if a parent is angry with their child, and the child has done something wrong, and the anger is justified, and they have the right and the authority to punish that child, but out of fear of Allah, because perhaps they might realize that even though I have the right and the authority and the child has done wrong, but it wouldn't be appropriate, it's not going to bring about the good that Allah intends to punish this child at this time, but rather this punishment, even if it's justified, it's because I'm angry. So the person should restrain themselves from that. Yani, a parent especially should always be careful in punishing their child. They should always be careful of the reason why they are punishing them. Yani, are they really punishing them for the sake of Allah because they believe this punishment is going to save that child in the end? Or are they punishing them because of their own emotional state, because they are angry and upset? Maybe the child has embarrassed them or something. Whatever the reason might be, it's not for the sake of Allah. Then a person should be careful from that. Now, because the punishment should be to bring about good, to bring about in the end the good that would be pleasing to Allah, not to please myself because I'm upset because the child has done wrong and the child deserves to be punished and I'm upset with the child, so I punish just because of that. Yani, punishment has an objective. Punishment should have an objective. It's not just for punishment's sake, but rather it's to bring about a greater good, and Allah knows best. Now, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. If he had to punish somebody, he only punished people for the sake of Allah. He never punished for himself. And lots of people have done wrong to the Prophet ﷺ, and he would restrain himself unless it was the situation where it was really this punishment would earn the pleasure of Allah.
But
now,
we get real angry and we punish somebody, then after you done get the anger and everything.
Naam, that's what happens. You get real angry and you act on your emotion, and afterward you realize that you're in error. That's why a person should control themselves. Yani, when you become angry, the Prophet ﷺ said, if a person is angry, they should seek refuge in Allah from shaitan. If a person becomes angry, they should sit down. And if they're still angry, then they should lay down. And in another authentic hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, if a person becomes angry, be quiet. be quiet, stop talking. And in a weak hadith, it is also reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, if a person becomes angry, make wudu. But the hadith is not authentic. So if a person becomes angry, they should seek refuge in Allah from shaitan. And they should stop talking. Stop talking, stop arguing, stop engaging. That increases the anger. And they should sit down. Or try laying down. Try laying down physically, psychologically. It's difficult to remain very angry while laying down. Nah, well, take a walk, but I mean, no doubt, yani, taking a walk, yani, getting out of the situation may help. Nah, getting out of the situation may help.
That's the medicine, man.
Can you elaborate a little bit on who is the people that arrives in your wealth, you know, you should recognize? Is it anybody that comes to you and asks, or is it, because what I mean is some of the people, you know, that they are asking you for money so they can go do drugs or abuse it with alcohol and etc.
No.
So can you clarify a little bit who are the people that have recognized rights, you know, that are in your wealth?
Well, I mean, you know, can we always look at a person and know who is really in need when a person asks? We can't always know that. But if a person is certain that somebody is coming to you asking you for a dollar or asking you for some change, and it is clear, you are certain without any doubt, that this person is getting ready to go into the liquor store. They're hanging out in front of the liquor store. Maybe you pass by them every day and they're drinking in front of the liquor store and they ask you for a dollar. Then perhaps it may be better for you not to facilitate that, but rather to protect yourself and you give the dollar to the next person that you meet that might really be in need. And be careful that we don't facilitate, that we don't participate in people doing evil. If you know that a person is going to take that money and use it for something evil, if it's clear, at least it appears like that, it appears to be obvious, then we should not facilitate it. Definitely we should not facilitate it. We shouldn't give people to buy money to buy drugs, to buy alcohol, to do evil with. We should not facilitate that. But at the same time, to protect yourself from stinginess, if a person asks for something and in your heart you believe that they're going to use it for evil, then still give the money, but give it to someone worthy. I mean, there are plenty of people who are worthy. There are plenty of people who are worthy, who are needy, and we can give it to someone else. But we should try, you know, not to restrain from or to hold back from giving. Rather, we should give as much as we can in every situation or circumstance that does not look like we will be facilitating evil. And who is entitled? I mean, any needy person is entitled. But the Muslim is more entitled than anybody else. Because there are people who are needy, and then there are people who are worthy. And the people who are needy is every person who is in need of something. But the people who are worthy, who are more worthy, are the people who are worshipping Allah. The people who are worshipping Allah, are more worthy than the people who are in need and who are not worshipping Allah. And that's why some of the scholars, they said that it's obligatory upon the people who give sadaqatul fitr to look not just for the needy people, but look for the people who are needy, who are worthy. The people who are worshipping Allah are more worthy to be given that than just any needy person. And it's incumbent upon us to do so, not to just try to get rid of it, to give it to the first person we see, but rather we should try to find and search and seek for the people who are entitled to receive it and the people who are more worthy of it. And Allah knows best. Naam. Wa yakum.
Person who gives his wealth in prosperity and in adversity. The person who's in a state of adversity.
No.
Now, apart from what was mentioned in the ayah today, what are some of the other things that the person may reflect upon that may, like, what goes through the heart of a believer at that time of adversity that makes him want to give his wealth for the sake of Allah?
I'm not sure if I understand the question, but are you saying that a person who's in a condition of adversity, who doesn't have much, who's in difficulty and hardship, what would motivate them to give from their wealth at the, in that condition? I think what would motivate them to give their wealth, and many things that would motivate them. Of course, the most obvious thing is that it is a good deed. And the Muslim is always motivated by doing any kind of good. But what might not be as obvious is that the person who's in a difficult situation might also be motivated by that difficult situation to give in the way of Allah as a means to get help from Allah, to get out of that condition that they are in. And there's no doubt that the one who spends in the way of Allah expects that that the return will be greater than what they have given. So that's a motivation in itself. That may not be as obvious, but certainly the person who is thinking, who's in difficulty, might realize that the way out of this difficulty is to spend in the way of Allah. Yani what little they have to spend something from that, because Allah multiplies. Whatever is given in the way of Allah is multiplied. So the Prophet ﷺ said that yani sadaqah does not decrease a person's wealth. So if a person has little and they give some sadaqah, right, it's not going to make them have less. And it's going to be multiplied. And Allah knows best. And what's obvious is that a person, even in difficult situation, and he would be motivated to give because it's a good deed. And the Muslim is always looking for something good to do. If a Muslim has little and they see a person who has less than them, then they should be motivated to help that person, even with what something from the little that they have. And, you know, I mean, that is the noble objective. But a person might also be looking out for themselves. And Allah is not in need. Rather, the one who spends in the way of Allah, they are taking care of their own self. They are looking out for themselves, because the good of it comes back to your own self. Naam? Naam. Naam. In Surah Hashr. Naam. Yani they gave from that which they themselves were in need of. And this is a praiseworthy characteristic. The people who give from that which they themselves are in dire need of. And they give, yani they give preference to others over their own selves. This is one of the great characteristics of the Ansar that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions and praises them for. Wayyakum. Tayyib. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.